Okay, now here we go. We'll go to work. Okay, you ready? We're going to read from 1 Peter 2 this morning. We're going to talk about overcome offense. Overcome offense. Key to this sermon is don't get offended. Amen? So just don't get offended by what's coming, because it is coming. It's coming down pretty strong. Thank God for this series. And no PowerPoint this morning. I was out the lake in... I wrote the notes yesterday, but I decided not to do a PowerPoint, so I'm just going to do it off my iPad this morning. There'll be some scriptures that'll help you. I did turn the scriptures in, so we'll do that. So how many of you know that we're living in the age of offense, right? I mean, I think everybody knows. And the church kind of is no exception. We have found ourselves, you know, when we hear it, enough, and I've told you before, when the world likes to just say it and say it and say it, and the more they say it, they eventually think you're going to believe it. So, you know, everybody says, that offends me. And now we see Christians on social media saying, that offends me. And we have to remember that, you know, that's not really protocol for us. If anything should have offended anybody, Jesus should have been real offended, right? How many of you know that sin equals offense? That's what the word sin literally means, an offense against God. In the scripture, it means if a man knows to do right and does not do it, to him it is sin. So to us, when we know to do right and don't do it, it is sin. And so to Jesus, sin, to Father God, sin is an offense against a holy God. Jesus took that. He took all of our offenses, right? I mean, he literally took every offense that you and I will ever commit and took those upon him. And I think that we should be those who would be willing to embrace our enemies. I think that the world is so trying to train everybody. And social media is a big tool of that. You have to remember that when you're reading, and when you're reading the Word, you want the mind of Christ. But when you're on social media, you really need the mind of Christ, because when you look at something over and over, as a man thinks, so is he. When you see something over and over and over again, and you read it over and over and over again, and you find yourself justifying the fact that you can get offended because it's offensive for somebody to treat Christians that way. Well, it was offensive for us to treat Jesus that way. Let me give you just a quick little point. It's on the Bible app this morning. We are using the Bible app. And if you want to put those instructions up there, do that. The Bible app instructions are right there. I think he already did that, but if you need those. So we are on notes this morning. It is okay for you to find offense. It's not okay for you to take offense. Are you with me? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You guys going to be Presbyterians or Charismatics this morning? Yeah. It's okay for you to find offense. It's not okay for you to take offense. We are believers. We have the Holy Spirit. We are called out by God. We are filled with His Spirit. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have power the world doesn't have. We have knowledge the world doesn't have. We have wisdom the world doesn't have. We have information the world doesn't have. We have revelation the world doesn't have. When we look at something offensive, we have the fruit of the Spirit to respond to that. When the world looks at something offensive, the only thing that they know to do is respond to that by their flesh. We ought to be responding to things of this world, even things that offend us. It's not that we, and you know, is the most scary thing in the church not the unoffendable Christian? The one that tells you, I'm unoffendable. Dear God, it's going to be a month before they're mad at me. And they're gone. Has anybody ever left the church and said, Pastor Tom, I'm leaving the church and it's my fault? No one's ever told, no one in 35 years of ministry has ever said, Pastor Tom, I'm leaving the church and it's my fault. Don't practice, that would be false humility, but I've never heard it. But the truth of the matter is, the people that say they're unoffendable, the reason that they have to confess it is because they're very offendable. Or they wouldn't even, the first thing you say is, hello, my name's, I'll use Carter. My name's Carter. I'm unoffendable. I'm like, oh God. I won't be here long. 6 weeks, out the door. Because the truth is, we can be offended. The thing that sometimes that we should embrace is the things that we reject. We should embrace offense and let the Holy Spirit take the offense. Let the Holy Spirit grow us through the offense. Jesus obviously thought that offenses would mature people, because Jesus offended people all the time. And obviously, offending even the disciples was a point, a tipping point of, you're going to mature through this or you're going to leave me. So he allowed offenses. He offended Pharisees. He offended lawyers. He offended Martha and Mary in John chapter 11 when they came out and said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. You were supposed to be here 2 days ago, Jesus. Where are you? You didn't show up. Now we're here at the tomb. Right? He obviously let them be offended. The disciples came to him and said, did you not know, Jesus, that you offended the Pharisees? Did you not know, Jesus, that this statement offended them? In his hometown, in Mark chapter 3, I think it was, he went into his hometown, and because they saw him as Jesus, not Jesus the Savior, They went on and said, where did this man get this wisdom? Who is this man? Is he not one of us? Is he not Mary's son? And then they said, and they were offended by him. And the scripture says, Jesus could do no miracles in that place. Why? Because offense drives back faith. Offense changes everything. Offense loses clarity. Offense causes you to blame somebody else for your struggle. Offense steals perspective. Jesus constantly was trying to shift perspective in every person that he met. 1 Peter 2 says, coming to him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, now watch what it says, watch the contrast. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Look at it in the scripture. To you who believe, that's one person, he's precious. To you who does not believe, he's not precious. He's offensive. They rejected him. And those that reject him, he has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of what? Offense. Jesus is the rock of offense. I can prove it. Just get on an elevator that's full and scream the name of Jesus. That offends me. He is the rock of offense. He obviously felt like, for those of us who could embrace something outside of our own paradigm, outside of our own reasoning, outside of our own thinking, outside of the way we think things should be and how we think others should live, Jesus obviously thought that offense was a stepping stone into our lives and not something that we would stumble over. Jesus did not make people stumble. He did help them to make a serious account the cost about following him as a Savior. So he says here, but you're chosen, he says here, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. How many people do we know that are there? Then he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If I say light. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have obtained mercy, light. You're called out. You're called into his light. Light is symbolic of knowledge and wisdom and revelation and instruction and transformation. That means he's given us everything in life to overcome these things called offenses. So what does an offense look like? And it's really an interesting concept because in the Greek language, it gives us an analogy. The word actually means, the word from the Greek is defined as a trap. It means a trap or a snare or a stumbling block. The analogy as to how the enemy traps us, and here's the skinny on the whole thing, is that it means a stick with a bait. A stick with a bait. So back in the day, before there was modern technology, the way that they used to trap things was they put a stick underneath, a trap on the top, a stick in the middle with a bait somewhere on the stick, and it would entice the animal to come in and nibble on the bait. When he would nibble on the bait, he would trip the stick and the trap would fall on him. Now, most of us think the trap is offense. The truth of the matter is, the trap is not the offense. Offense is a trap, but the trap is not offense. The trap is the bait. You hearing me? In other words, the enticement, the bait becomes the centerpiece of the whole situation. Notice, offense is not the trap or the box. The offense, listen, I said it wrong. The offense is the bait. Get this, you take the bait of offense and then you nibble on the bait. When you nibble on the bait, it leads you to offense. When you nibble on the bait that leads you to offense, you're trapped by the bait that led you to the trap. In other words, it's your. Have you ever noticed that when someone gets offended, they want you to be offended too? And if you don't feel their hurt and pain and their offense, even if it's against me, if you don't feel that, if you don't buy into that, if you don't show empathy to their offense, they get offended at you too. Listen, can I tell you to not drink the Kool-Aid? Just don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't shoot up the offense, right? Tell them you're already high on Jesus. You don't need to shoot up, no offense, right? You're already high. You're high on Jesus already. But offended people love for other people to feel their offense, and they try to draw people. One man said to me one time, I was talking to a person. They were talking to me about this situation, and I was telling them about this person and where they were trying to get me to go. And the mentor looked at me and said, "Tom, don't follow them into their wilderness." Offended people love to take you into their wilderness, and it's a trap. It's a snare. Eventually, it becomes a stumbling block. We live in times when being offended or being a victim gets noticed. On the Bible app this morning, we live in a time where victims get heard and find preference. In our political world, we allow offense. Offense. People get offended over something. Literally, they can shift decisions. They can shift protocol just because they're offended. We no longer have protections from protocol. We now have, the only protection that we have is people who allow other people to get their way. Are you hearing me? Because victims find a way to get their way. I don't know if you know the story. Miss Michigan is a perfect example. 4 weeks ago, the lady that was appointed Miss Michigan turned out, after she received her crown, went on social media, had to appear before a Muslim audience, did not choose to wear, I don't know how to say it, is it a hijab? She chose not to wear a hijab. Because she did not wear the hijab, the Muslims all came out against her, and the state of Michigan took her crown. Wow. A crown that she had won. Because she offended those people. They shifted protocol. She won that crown. They took it from her because of political correctness and offense. The victims get heard. We live in a time where right is not right and wrong is wrong, but wrong becomes right in some people's eyes. We have to be careful. We also have to not be sucked in to these kind of things and make ourselves victims because we're seeing victimization everywhere. I'm not going to say her name, and I don't need your help, but one of our congressmen, one of America's congressmen, wanted to go to Israel. And she was a troublemaker and a hater and a racist against Israel. She went over there to create hatred and more vitriol against our nation. Israel did not let her in, chose to not let her in. She became a victim. Now all of a sudden, she's literally saying that she's the victim of the highest racism ever, ever created. So now she's a hater, she's a racist, but now because they chose to not let a hater in their country, she's saying that she's a victim of racism. Now, what's the point? The point is she's made herself a victim, and victims get heard. They also get grace they shouldn't get. The truth of the matter is all of it is about sowing and reaping. And she has sown hatred, she has sown racism, and now it's coming back towards her, but she don't want to embrace that bullet. She wants to make herself a victim. She was offended. Here's the congressman. Here's what the congressperson said. She said, "I can't allow the state of Israel to take away the light by humiliating me and use my love for my city to bow down to their oppressive and racist policies." This lady is an open racist and condemning racism. And I'm like, have you lost your mind? But see, the truth is they know they can win because if their voice is loud enough and they make themselves a victim. And listen, why am I preaching this to you for? Because this is the way the world wants to train us. Bible app this morning, victimization is not a Christian defense. This is a trap. It's a major trap of the enemy to cause us to look for answers beyond our God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never said, "This is racism. You're throwing us in the fiery furnace. This is racism." They said, "If you throw me in there, it doesn't matter if we come out." They never made themselves a victim. They made themselves victors. So here, just grab this. I want to say it one more time. It's okay to find offense. Listen to me, Life Bridge. It's okay to find offense. It's not okay to take offense. Luke 7 says, "As blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Jesus said, "Blessed is he who's not offended because of me." Jesus was the rock of offense. Jesus showed us that love was greater than hate. Jesus showed us that he could take offense. He was ridiculed, slandered, lied about, beaten, and yet took every offense. Not only did he not even respond to that, he also forgave them. How much more should the church? How much more should we start thinking, okay, rather than judge a Muslim or even judge a congressman? Because, see, a lot of times as believers, we find ourselves in self-righteousness. But the truth of the matter is we judge ourselves by intention, and we judge others by behavior. One more time. We judge ourselves by our intentions. We know our good heart. "I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to cuss. I didn't mean to be mad." Okay. But you're a jerk with a log hanging out of our eye, right? And we can't see because, listen, offense always steals clarity. Offense always justifies position. There's a reason I feel this way. Jesus could have felt that way. Jesus embraced it. Jesus let it crucify him. Jesus let it form him into the image of his Father. And I wonder if we're going to get caught up in the trap of allowing the world to train us. Because here's the truth, and here's the pay dirt on it all. The pay dirt is this: anger and offense feel the same way. But they're not the same. It's okay for you But it's the outcome that determines where you're at. Anger and offense feels the same. If you're angry and cuss, talking about cussing this morning, we focus on cussing. We think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. No, you shouldn't have been angry. We focus on the fruit rather than the root. If you deal with the anger, you won't cuss. I can stand up here and say a cuss word, and y'all would focus more on the cuss word, which you should, but than the point I'm going to make. Why? Because we deal with fruit so much. We think that anger, the Bible says you can be angry and not sin. You cannot take offense and not sin. But the truth is, they feel the same way. Fact is, listen, offense does not hurt me. Being offended does. Offense can be a repellent or a propellant. Propelled Jesus to love us. Offense is a repellent to most of us. 1 Peter 3, And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord Jesus in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. In other words, he's saying, when they see your great conduct from their bad behavior, they're going to be ashamed of the things that they did. But if we make ourselves victims, they're going to be ashamed of the things that we did. Have you ever got in an argument and got so twisted off with the intense fellowship of your spouse that the argument got lost within the behavior of your life? And then it all becomes about what you did rather than what the argument was about. This is the way the world views the church. Jesus said we are to be known by our love, not by our wisdom, not by our righteousness, not by our good deeds. We're to be known by our love. We cannot be offended and walk in love at the same time. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God for you to suffer for good than for doing evil. Think about it. You said, man, I did everything right. I did everything good. And they bashed me. Listen, all I do is write articles for Fox News. You wouldn't believe the hammers. I get thrown under the bus, to the dog, and in the coffin. The last article I wrote, one woman put on there, deceiver equals McDaniels. And I was writing a blog on truth. An organization was wanting to look at my writings. I sent them, they wanted to look, and I said, well, go into the Fox News. And they sent me back an email and said, there are thousands of comments on there. I said, I know, don't read them. You'll get a bad view of who I really am. But the truth of the matter is, I love it because I don't love the outcome, but I love the fact that eventually they get so mad at each other that they start fighting each other and they get their mind off me. And sometimes I read, like, you know, 250 comments, and I'm not in any of them. I'm like, go, guys, get them up, you know. get off me, right? So it's just, anyway. So the point is, you can get offended. And the one thing, I don't want to be, I mean, I've had pastors call me direct for some of the things I'm writing. I've had emails from local pastors telling me how ashamed they were of me. Praise the Lord. Hey, and you know, some of them are, you know, they're guys that have some rank. I was thinking something bad. I'm not saying that, but anyway. I'm not offended, I promise. I'm really not. So, offense is deceptive. Now listen, I want to give you a little comment here from Professor Dan Kahan. Here's what he says. He says, our personal bias, our passions, and our preferences undermine our sound reasonings. Let me say it one more time. Our personal bias, our passions, and preferences undermine our sound reasoning. Question for you. Do you think our Christian reasoning, bias, and prejudice steals our biblical reasoning? Do you think our Christian reasoning, bias, and prejudice steals our biblical reasoning? Now, I'm going to talk politics for just a minute, okay? So don't say amens unless you want to be called out, okay? So I'm going to use Trump as example. I'm sorry, I'm going to use President Trump as an example. Amen. That's a perfect example of how the world trains us, because the people in the fake news, if you want to say that, call him Trump. He's not Trump. His name is President, but his title is President Trump, and he should be called President Trump. But because we hear Trump, 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 then it's automatic for us to say Trump. We want to say President Trump because he's our president, whether you like him or not. I said President Obama because he was President Obama. Now, have any of you, don't raise your hands unless you want to get stoned, but have any of you ever been offended for President Trump? Don't say yes either, okay? Just... Okay, so let me ask you something. If you've ever been offended for President Trump and the people who said yes, 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 and don't say yes or no to this, just eat it, just wear this. This is good practice if you get offended. You just be quiet, okay? So on questions that you really are biased about, like right now, and you're passionate about, you want to speak out, and I could probably let this platform go and we could be political for several hours, but here's the point. This platform is not for politics. I just want you to know that. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, but if you've ever been offended for Trump and you said yes to that, were you ever offended for Obama? Remember what Dr. Kahan said. He said that our personal bias, our passions, and our preferences undermine our sound reasoning. So do you think that anybody ever treated Obama bad? You bet. But most of us Republicans, and if you are that, most of you that are Republicans, you didn't take a lot of offense to that because your personal bias and your passion wasn't in that place. But even though President Trump is a mess, and he is, that's my personal opinion. If he'd stay off of Twitter, I'd love him. But anyway, besides that, and that's just my opinion, and I'm not offended. Good try, Daddy. Good try. Remember, you can find offense, just can't take offense. So, if not, how many of you are offended that I even ask? He shouldn't be talking about that. It's so real. I know so many people. I mean, a lot of people who've said to me, I've stopped watching Fox News because it makes me so mad. I'm offended. You know, this is common. We used to preach this in the 90s and the early 2000s, but how many of you know that dead people can't get offended? Amen. Can't offend. You ever seen anybody come up out of a casket offended at what you wore to see them or something? Dead men, dead women, Christians, believers, we're to be beyond offense. A brother offended is harder to win, Proverbs 18:19, than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. I'll give this illustration and I'll quit. How many of you ever watched People's Court? I could say something. If I were to ask how many of you watch Anatomy's Grey or Grey, is that what it is? Yeah. I've never seen. Is that what it is? What is it? Grey's Anatomy. See, I've never watched it, and I'm going to, but I'm afraid if I ask you, I'd get more of those hands raised than I just did on People's Court. And which one's better for you is my question. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'll let the Holy Spirit get in there and get that going. But anyway, so People's court, good example, right? Okay, you, the first person talks, people's court, you're watching people's court. I don't watch it very often, but the few times I have watched it, I've experienced this, so this is where this analogy came from. So people's court, and the first guy person gets up there and he says, my landlord took my rent money, right? Didn't fix the air conditioning. I've got two kids, and you go, oh, and they go, two kids, it was 100 degrees in our house, and you go, oh, no, that's terrible. That landlord stinks. He's terrible. He shouldn't do that. He should go to jail. Whatever your name is, judge, put him in jail. Right? You're standing there taking sides, right? And then the landlord gets up, and he says, hello, judge. And he says, well, judge, here's the truth. You know, they didn't pay a deposit. I let them in the house. They didn't pay me for 4 months. The air conditioner broke down. They finally paid me a month's rent, hoping I would get the air conditioner fixed. I sent someone over there to fix the air conditioner twice, but because of the condition of my house, which they didn't want me to see, they didn't want to let anybody in the house. And now you're going, you're a liar. So now you're going, oh, the landlord, he's such a nice person. But just a few minutes ago, you were like, you're a liar, you suck, you stink, you're terrible. And now you're going, you're awesome, you're sweet, no deposit, 4 or 5 months free rent. Why? What happens? See, because now you're offended at that person. You were offended at that person because perspective changes everything. And this is what God wants us to make sure that we are away from, that we don't pick up these things. We hear these kind of things. And this is just the nature of people. Jesus said it, and I've preached it many times even this year. Wisdom is justified by her children. An offense always wants to find a place of justification. And you will figure out a way to justify your position to make you feel good rather than to embrace the reality that you're offended over something. Offense always hides behind self-righteousness. So we have to let the Holy Spirit show us. There's a verse, it says, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every thing abide there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle. Watch, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Listen, guys, are we reading the Bible? Or are we being trained by the wrong source? Do we think we know what it is to be a Christian? Is it okay for us to be mad, to be angry, to sin, to take offense, to point fingers, to judge? Or should we be peaceable, pure, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy? The scripture says in one place where there is wrong opinion, when there's difference of opinion between the two of you, why don't you take the defraud? He's talking about a man and a woman going to get a divorce to the courts, and he's saying, why don't you just take the defraud? Take the blame. Take the hit. Or you can go to your attorney, you become a victim, you can go to the judge, and you can find out who's the most victimized among you, and he'll choose the greatest victim to favor. Or you can give it to the Lord and say, God, you're my refuge, you're my strength, you're my shield, you're my buckler, you're my strength, you're everything for me. I trust you with this. I take the defraud, I take the hit, I'm willing to yield, I want to walk in peace, I want to be gentle. That's what I want. And we have forgotten to live this way. We've forgotten. I see it in normal communication. Sitting across the table from wonderful, spirit-filled, beautiful people, elegant people, well-off people, who are making themselves a victim in one area or another because the world is training us to do that. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to be offended. Nothing causes them to stumble. That's the word offended. Nothing causes them to be offended. Say it with me. Nothing causes them to be offended. Remember, you can find offense. You can't take offense. If you do, it will make your clarity confused. It will blind you. You'll have the wrong perspective. You'll have the wrong thought. Has anybody ever did something untrustworthy way towards you that you just couldn't trust them? Well, what happened from that point on? You may have a relationship with them, but right here, what happens in the back of your mind? Everything they say, you don't, I ain't trusted. Nope. Why? Because that's the filter. So what offense does, when someone offends you, everything they do from the moment of offense, you start seeing them through that offense. You skew them and view them from that moment. And everything about their life is from that moment on because you're offended. And now offense is your filter. And it's dangerous. Because forgiveness is huge. Philippians 1:10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Offense is a prison. Offense is a prison. And you're the prisoner. And we think it's somebody else's fault. We're blaming them for what they did. And this happens to me and Charlotte all the time. I mean, it's just easy for you to say, look what you made me do. It's hilarious. I'm like, look what I made you do? Really? Well, you made me mad. No, you chose madness at my madness. I didn't make you mad. You allowed yourself to be mad about me. That's pretty easy. But anyway, so here's the thing. We let go. We let God have his way. Forgive. Everybody say forgive. Forgive, forgive everything. I just wrote down the exes. Forgive the ex everything. The ex-spouse, the ex-employer, the ex-pastor, the ex-in-law. Let go of bitterness. Let go of wrath. Let go of malice. Embrace hurt. Receive the offense. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you did for someone to offend you. What you did wrong. Why would they approach you in that manner? Forgive. Forgive. Forgive others. Forgive your exes. Forgive the ones you're in court with. Forgive the ones that hurt you. Forgive your perpetrator. Forgive those who've made you, who you think caused you to be a victim. You're not a victim. You're a victor. You're called out. You're called by God. You're a chosen generation. You're God's holy people. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you out and called you in. You have no reason to be a victim. You are a victor. God can turn around every situation in your life. Quit allowing the world or someone else to vindicate you when God is your vindicator, your salvation, your strength, and your shield. And he will raise you up. I'm telling you, he will raise you up. If you will look to him, if you'll look to the hills from where your help comes from, if you will look to him to vindicate you and to draw you into his righteousness, he will repair every offense that's ever crossed your desk. Will you stand with me?